welcome to the Buckmaster Show. It is Tuesday, the 20th December, Hanukkah beginning at sundown tonight. Happy Hanukkah to all of our Jewish friends. I am Bill Buckmaster, your host for the Buckmaster Show. We are on KVOI, Southern Arizona's most powerful news talk station. And a big shout out to our simulcast partners, KJAA, AM 1240 in Gila County out of Globe, and KAPR, AM 930 in Douglas, serving Cochise County. We stream the show live at buckmastershow.com and on kvoi.com. And there are now three venues for 24/7 anytime listening of this program: buckmastershow.com, tucsonsentinel.com, and tucsoncitizen.com. We are live Monday through Friday from noon to 1 p.m. We will start the show with a newsmaker interview with the Pinal County attorney, Jim Walsh, and we will get his take on why crime rates are dropping and how it will impact the state's corrections plans. At 20 minutes past the hour, it's the Tuesday Moneymaker Report. Certified financial planner Shelley Fishman has a huge smile on his face, at least so far today. The market doing very well. 30 minutes past the hour, we discuss holiday depression, especially among our older adults. And then 45 minutes past the hour, the Buckmaster Show contributor on consumer affairs, Tom Collier, with some last-minute Christmas shopping tips. So we have another jam-packed show for you here on the Buckmaster Show. And we always encourage you to call in if you have any questions for our guests, 790-2040. You can also email questions at buckmastershow.com or submit them using the Buckmaster Show Facebook page. And if you have a story idea or a particular guest that you would like to hear interviewed, we encourage you to contact us. Now let's get on with Jim Walsh. Arizona's crime rate continuing to fall here in Pima County. Even the jail population is down dramatically. Joining us on the Buckmaster Show is Jim Walsh. He is the Pinal County attorney, and we appreciate Jim coming down from the county seat in Florence. Jim, thanks for being with us.
Bill, it's great to be with you.
We are delighted to have you, and of course, folks in Pinal County can hear this show because we are on the strongest news talk station. So all your friends are listening up in the Florence area.
I'm glad to know that.
How is the crime rate doing? We know the crime rate has dropped nationally as well as here in Arizona. What do you think the cause is?
Well, it's very difficult to tell you what the cause is. In fact, a lot of very astute criminologists and sociologists have looked at it, and they can't really pinpoint one thing. Usually when crime rates go down, people look at the demographics. Is there a younger population getting older? Because much of the crime that's committed is committed by males between the ages of 18 and 25. That isn't clearly the cause of the lower crime rate right now, so nobody is really saying that. Some people think that, and this is something that we as prosecutors here in Arizona believe, is that the work that we do in making sure that the public is safe has caused people who would otherwise be committing crime to be incarcerated for a certain period of time. It certainly lowers the crime rates when repeat offenders are put behind bars for a period of time because they're not going to repeat offend again. We've noticed in our county in the last year, when we have been able to increase the number of felonies we've charged, that there seem to be less felonies coming in. And one of the things we're looking at, I can't say we're looking at it statistically or scientifically, is how come there are less crimes being committed? It may be that we have tapped into and are removing people by this more efficient charging routine from the streets. And they're no longer committing as many crimes because they're paying their debt to society. They've been incarcerated.
And I think your colleague here in Pima County, Barbara LaWall, also supports this idea that the right people are in prison for the right reasons.
Right. A couple of years ago, when we saw this issue coming forward, again, by we, I mean our Arizona prosecutors, who have a group called the Arizona Prosecuting Attorneys Advisory Council, and we saw that sentencing was becoming a big issue, in part because of our fiscal stress everywhere in the state and everywhere in the country. And we wanted to find out Well, what about prisons? That is a very big part of our state budget. Are we spending the right money to put the right people away? And we commissioned Dr. Fisher, who had been an employee at the Arizona's Department of Corrections, to do a snapshot analysis of who's in prison, what are they there for, and what about these stories everybody talks about, well, people in prison are really first-time drug offenders. And that is a myth. That is not true now. It wasn't true
now. Low-level drug offenders are crowding our Arizona prisons, according to the critics anyway.
Right. And it's simply not true. Really, when you look at issues of violent offenders, and by violent offenders, I mean the statistical work that the FBI does, murder, rape, aggravated assault. We also include any other kind of sex crimes in that. And when you add to that people who are in prison because they are repeat offenders and one of their offenses is a violent offense, you really are talking about the vast majority, almost all the prisoners that are there. When you talk about repeat offenders and violent offenders combined, you're talking about really 95%. Nonviolent first offenders in our original study in 2009 comprised less than 6% of the prison population. That number on some revised data that we're analyzing has gone down to slightly less than 5%.
The Department of Corrections is the largest single agency budget item in Arizona's overall budget. In light of this drop in the crime rate, should we be reevaluating building more prison beds or constructing more prisons?
I think the legislature should take a look at that. Right now, for the current population, there is a shortage of beds. But whether we really need to engage in more capital expenditures to take care of that on a short-term basis, or whether we should look at the population coming into the prison. And for the first time in many years, there are less people being committed to the prison than there were before. In fact, the overall prison population dropped from 40,431 in 2009 to 39,896. Now, it doesn't look like a big drop, but that's after year upon year of increases. And we do have an increase in population, although Arizona's not growing like it used to. So what we're seeing as a trend is fewer people going to prison. But there are people there. They're serving 85% of their sentence under the Truth in Sentencing law, and they have to finish those sentences out. And that's why we need some more beds on a short-term basis.
Jim Walsh is with us. He is the Pinal County attorney. What about mandatory sentencing? How has that played in all of our prison population when you look at these surveys?
You know, we don't really have mandatory sentencing the way some other states do. We have a combination of different sentencing schemes that I think are well done, and I think they're well balanced. A mandatory prison sentence is where the judge has absolutely no discretion, and once the person is convicted of the crime, that person goes away. For almost every crime that is committed in Arizona, there is some element of both prosecutorial discretion, which often comes out in plea bargains, and sentencing discretion by the judges. The most typical thing is that when a person is convicted or pleads to a felony, there is a range of sentencing available. There is a presumptive sentence. Let's say it's a kind of crime where it would be a 5-year presumptive sentence. If the accused can show some mitigating factors as to why they committed the crime, and there are a number of mitigating factors that can be shown, that sentence might be as little as 3 years. On the other hand, if the prosecution can show that there are aggravating factors, the judge might be able to sentence up to 7 or 8 years. So that is pretty true of almost all felonies. There are a few mandatory areas, and often that is in the area of sexual assaults and certain crimes against children, where if more than one crime is proved, the judge must enter consecutive as opposed to concurrent sentences. And that has been raised as an issue in the legislature by certain legislators.
Well, I wanted to mention quickly alternatives to prison sentencing. Should we be using that more for nonviolent, say, drug offenses?
Absolutely. And the fact of the matter is we're using it now. We just started a deferred drug court type of program in Pinal County in this last year. It is small to begin with, but we think it is the right thing to do with the type of first-time drug offender that can benefit from rehabilitation and a program that helps them to kick their addiction and get that behind them. Probably one of the best programs we have in the state is right here in Pima County, and I'm sure that Barbara LaWall has spoken to you about it before, but it's the Drug Treatment Alternative Program.
Yeah, she's very excited about that.
It's a great program. It's modeled on one that was very successful in Brooklyn and led by their very well-known prosecutor, Joe Hines. And Barbara has adopted it here for Pima County, and she was lucky enough to get some grant funding for that. And I hope someday we can get some of that and try and expand our program.
You're excited about what's going on in your office in Pinal County, aren't you?
I'm sure I am. It's a great
office.
You've
got some really seasoned people in there.
We're very fortunate. I have a couple of former county attorneys who helped keep me on the straight road, and they really know how things are done. And we were very fortunate to hire the former chief deputy county attorney from Maricopa County this past year, who we put in charge of our pretrial or charging bureau. And because of the work by all the hard-working people in that bureau, the lawyers who work there, particularly the staff that works there, they've been able to actually increase the number of crimes we charged, even though there is generally fewer crimes being referred to us. In other words, we have gotten into the backlog. We have virtually eliminated the backlog, which was unheard of before. And again, it may have some impact on the number of crimes that are being committed.
Pinal County continues to grow. Only got about a minute left here with Jim Walsh, but I know you're going to go from three supervisors to five, an
That's
indication
right.
of how your county is growing, and that could mean more work for your office.
Well, usually a couple of more supervisors will probably keep us busy. But
not necessarily that. I meant the growth of Pinal County
yes.
will mean perhaps more work for your office.
Well, we really enjoy
maybe
it.
More supervisors as well.
Well, we look forward to working with the new supervisors that get elected and the old supervisors who remain in office. And Pinal County is a great place, Bill, and I'm very, very fortunate to have an opportunity to be the Pinal County Attorney.
Jim Walsh has been with us, Pinal County Attorney, on the Buckmaster Show. Jim, have yourself a great Christmas season and a Happy New Year to you, and we'll look forward to talking to you in the new year. Thanks.
Thank you, Bill. Look forward to it as well.
All right. Jim Walsh, Pinal County Attorney. Shelley Fishman still has that big smile on his face. The market having a very good day. The Tuesday Moneymaker Report is next on this Tuesday on the Buckmaster Show. Stay with us.
Hi, Meg. I see you're cleaning out the garage.
Not exactly. I'm trying to find Grandma Lynn's clock for what it's worth.
For what?
What's it worth with a Z? It's an antiques appraisal fundraising event on February 12th at the Doubletree Hotel. You can bring in two items, have them appraised by those famous appraisers, you know, you see on TV.
Famous appraisers?
Yeah, you know, Colleen Fesco, Michael Flanagan.
How much does it cost and what can I have appraised?
A $60 ticket, woman, admits two people and you can bring up to two items. You can bring furniture, jewelry, china, rugs, paintings, whatever. The proceeds go to help children in need in Tucson.
Where can I buy tickets?
You can buy your tickets online at whatsitworth.org. That's what's it with a Z. Wait, where are you going?
I'm going to find my two items for What's It Worth. I love Michael Flanagan, and it's for a good cause. See you there.
Proceeds benefit Assistance League of Tucson.
The RTA, delivering our promise to you during the past 5 years, completing over 400 projects, including five major roadways and the launch of Sun Express and Sun Shuttle Transit services, with 30 projects underway, including the intersection of Alvernon and Valencia and Camino Seco to Houghton along Speedway Boulevard. Please watch for workers and obey all traffic signs. Your tax dollars create jobs and make travel in our region faster and safer. The RTA, delivering our promise to you.
Listed on the National Register of Historic Places and founded in 1930 by Isabella Greenway, Arizona's first congresswoman, the Arizona Inn still sets the standard for luxury hospitality in Midtown Tucson, just minutes from the University of Arizona. The Arizona Inn continues to win top honors for hospitality and dining. The Arizona Inn has again been named one of the best 500 hotels on earth by Travel and Leisure magazine, the only hotel in Tucson to receive this top honor. And the Inn is proud of its AAA four diamond status for both the hotel and dining room. Whether it's for breakfast, lunch, or dinner, or a private event, you can count on Chef Allison's featured seasonal culinary creations to please. The Arizona Inn, a special oasis of hospitality in Midtown Tucson at 2200 East Elm and on the web at arizonainn.com.
Taste pizza as it was meant to be at Vero More, Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan pizza, topped with the finest, freshest quality ingredients. Enjoy casual yet upscale dining while sampling our extensive boutique wine list. Vero More in Tucson at North Swan and Camp Lowell, Dove Mountain and Marana, and on the web at veromorepizza.com. And now open in Oro Valley, Noble Hops, the Tucson area's first gastro pub.
For more than 40 years, Pima Community College has helped our citizens realize their dreams, prepare for meaningful employment, improve their quality of life, and create a better community. We haven't done it alone. Your continuing investment in and support of education has made it possible for us to prepare hundreds of thousands of Southern Arizonans for jobs. Today's Pima Community College students will be tomorrow's firefighters, nurses, police officers, teachers, and small business owners, the backbone of a literate, prosperous, thriving Tucson and Pima County. During these extraordinarily tough times, our funding is in serious jeopardy. And as budgets get even tighter, we'll have to cut back services just when people need us the most. So please support us in our ongoing effort to build a better tomorrow. Help us provide the education and resources that the people of Pima County need today. For more information, contact us at 206-4500 or visit us on the web at pima.edu. Pima Community College, developing our community through learning.
Shelley Fishman, CFP, is a financial services professional located at Pyramid Federal Credit Union. The opinions voiced on this program segment are for general information only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations for any individual. To determine which investments may be appropriate for you, consult with your financial advisor or tax advisor prior to investing.
.1222 on the Buckmaster Show, and here he is, the man himself, Shelley Fishman. And Shelley, when I was preparing for our interview last night, I thought, well, market's down about 600 points from your prediction for the end of the year. And I thought, well, maybe I'll gently give you a little kidding on that subject.
I came fully prepared this morning to give a recipe on the proper care, feeding, and preparation of crow, but maybe not.
Market is up at last report about 300 points, so you're about halfway to your year-end prediction, which is doable.
Yeah, it is.
Everybody
if Europe,
a good mood.
If Europe will just keep their mouths shut for the next week and continued good news out of the U.S. economy, then I think we can probably get there.
What should we be watching toward the end of the year with this European situation? Does it look like, at least for now, that they have their houses, respective houses, in order over there?
They seem to be headed down, you know, the right direction. They are going to fund the program that they put in place. There was some fear yesterday that they wouldn't fund it enough. Apparently, that fear evaporated for one reason or another overnight, and now there's the sense that, you know, we're getting into the Christmas season. People are kind of going to calm down for a couple of weeks. Bill, we're in for more roller coaster around these issues for the next year.
2012 looks to be another really volatile year, doesn't it?
I really think it does, because so many of the things that have been plaguing the Western economies and to some extent the emerging economies as well are still going to be there. We haven't fixed them. They require political fixes, and political fixes are always very difficult to come by.
The commodity markets, though, look very intriguing for 2012.
Yeah, if you know what you're doing. Do not please do not put that out in the universe that people should begin to invest in commodities. Clearly, precious metals are a good hedge, and you should have some of those in your portfolio, 5, 8, 10% maybe. But getting into futures, commodities futures, you know, rice and soybeans and oil and that kind of stuff.
Well, you really have to know what you're doing. But emerging markets look very intriguing.
Well, they looked intriguing at the beginning of this year, too, and they've been a bust.
Why is that? Why did emerging markets fall so short this year?
Well, a couple of things. Inflation is probably the single simple answer for all of it. We've had some shortages in foodstuffs and other commodities, which has raised the price. We've got some climate change going on and droughts in Russia. We have some bad rice crops, floods actually in India. The Indians stopped exporting rice. We've got unusual climate situations around the world, and that's driving up the price of things that the emerging markets need. The other thing is the emerging markets have not been used to importing food. They've been able to grow their own. However, we now learn that all the arable land in China, I mean, that's a huge amount of land, is now being farmed. So the only way to increase production there is through technology. In the interim, the Chinese are importing. When you get a huge demand for stuff, you know, in a free market, prices go up.
Are you getting a lot of investor, your clients saying, is there anything in particular that I need to do about that, getting back to the European situation?
Many of my clients are very concerned about what's going on. They see a relatively flat year. Our results, for the most part, in my portfolios have been better than the year has been. But that's only because so many of my clients are in fixed income, and that fixed income has been running 4 to 6, 7%. You get a tiny bit of growth on top of that 4, 6, or 7%, and you've had a good year.
Well, it is a good year. If 6 or 7% would be a very good year.
Well, certainly if you have
a conservative portfolio.
Yeah. They are. I think I told you the story last week of my most conservative portfolio up 16%, and I had to double check the numbers because it just didn't make sense. We've mentioned this before. I really do believe that equities are going to, for the next couple of years, be in the 6 or 7% growth range rather than in the more traditional 10 to 12%. And if that's the case and you can get that out of less volatile fixed income portfolios, you should do that.
And everyone's portfolio, we say it almost every week, but we can't say it enough, I don't think. And I think you'd agree with me that every portfolio is different.
Absolutely.
And your needs and your end goals are going to be different.
Absolutely. There's no doubt about the fact that one size doesn't fit all when it comes to investing.
What are some of the things then that you will be looking at for 2012?
Well, two things have me very interested. One is the possibility of getting more involved in emerging market debt. In other words, fixed income from emerging markets. They're not as risky as we think they are. And they are providing very nice returns. And that's one thing I've been researching and perhaps thinking about easing into some of these portfolios.
Nice returns
with very little or much less risk than you would expect.
Other portfolio things you've been looking at?
Well, Europe keeps on popping up in my mind as being on sale right now. Both European debt is very low because the returns that are expected are very high. And also European equities are anticipating a second recession. And so that's something that we really do need to look at. You know, if we really believe that we should buy low and we see what are essentially very healthy economies and we see that those economies are, you know, bottoming out, now's the time to get back in.
Where can folks get a hold of Shelley Fishman?
795-7950 is the best way to reach me, or send me an email through my website, shelleyfishman.com, and I answer right away.
And if you're going by one of the pyramid credit unions, perhaps stop by and say hello to Shelley.
Right. You never know where I'm going to be because I go, through all four
and
now.
Pyramid
five
is
branches.
Growing,
yes,
and they're growing.
Absolutely.
Yes.
So it's better to give me a call first. It's not a walk-in situation because my days get rather booked.
Shelley Fishman, happy Hanukkah to you. Have
and
a great holiday season. We'll see you next week with some year-end advice.
Yeah, let's do that.
New Year's resolutions with
Merry
Shelley
Christmas
Fishman.
To everybody.
Thanks so much, Shelley.
The opinions voiced in this program segment are for general information only and are not necessarily those of LPL Financial, Pyramid Federal Credit Union, or this station. Shelley Fishman, CFP, is a financial planner located at Pyramid Federal Credit Union. Securities and insurance products offered through LPL Financial and its affiliates. Member FINRA. Pyramid Federal Credit Union is not a registered broker-dealer, nor is it affiliated with LP Financial.
SRN News, I'm Rich Thomason in Washington. As expected, the House has voted down a plan that would have extended for 2 months a payroll tax cut for some 160 million American workers. Republicans in the House want a year-long extension of the payroll tax cut. House Speaker John Boehner urging Senate Democrats to enter into negotiations with the House to come up with a compromise bill. Analysts are warning that the kind of rally that's being seen today on Wall Street has been seen on other recent days, but that the gains have quickly evaporated. Today's rally on Wall Street brought about by some encouraging news on new home construction. A couple of major east-west interstate highways through Kansas and the Texas Panhandle have reopened after being shut down by a powerful blizzard. More details at srnnews.com.
Ever notice how much time you spend just getting where you want to go? Travel hassles, long drives, expensive parking can all ruin your trip and create a miserable experience. Tucson International Airport has the answer. With close, easy parking, quick check-in, a short walk to your gate, and airport amenities that make traveling stress-free and enjoyable. With nonstop destinations and connections around the world for business or for pleasure, fly TucsonAirport.com. It's the way to go.
Vero Amore presents Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan pizza using fresh, homemade mozzarella and the finest quality toppings. Taste pizza as it was meant to be at Vero Amore. Casual yet upscale dining with an extensive boutique wine list. Vero Amore in Tucson on North Swan at Camp Lowell, Dove Mountain in Marana, and on the web at veroamorepizza.com. And now in Oro Valley, Noble Hops, the Tucson area's first gastro pub.
Splendido at Rancho Vistoso in Oro Valley is a very special place, offering a continuum of healthcare in a resort atmosphere. Splendido received 2007 Best of 50 Plus Housing Awards from the National Association of Home Builders for overall best continuing care retirement community and interior design. Splendido offers priority access to on-site assisted living, skilled nursing, and memory support care if ever needed. Find out more at splendidoaz.net.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local independent nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Twelve 33 on the Buckmaster Show, and one of our continuing focus segments on the Buckmaster Show is aging and the impact on the baby boom generation. Today we focus on holiday depression in older adults, and according to the National Institutes of Health, Of the 35 million Americans age 65 or older, about 2 million suffer from clinical depression, and another 5 million suffer from less severe forms of the illness. And left untreated, it can be extremely detrimental to older adults' quality of life, both physically and mentally. Joining us on the Buckmaster Show is Gail Morgan, a monthly guest to this program on aging issues. Gail heads up community outreach for Mather Lifeways, which is 50% owner and is the management company for Splendido at Rancho Vistoso in Oro Valley, which is a proud sponsor of the Buckmaster Show. Gail, good to see you. Happy holidays.
Happy holidays. It's good to be here.
You know, people around this time of year, and I think it's especially for the older citizens, it can be a very, very difficult year.
You know, it truly can. One of the things about the holidays is it brings memories. So many wonderful, wonderful memories. And with memories, it seems to remind many of us of the things that have changed over the years, including loss and loss of loved ones, which in itself can really be a difficult time for many.
Yeah, and it's supposed to be everyone's reminded that the holidays are this season of joy, and after all, the Christmas decorations seem to go up earlier and earlier. By about Halloween, they're up, and I think that without the kids sometimes around, too, for the older Southern Arizonans and older Arizonans, that's difficult.
It's difficult. When you just think about the holiday decorations alone, it could be harder to put those out and to decorate your home as you've become more physically challenged, or if it's something that your spouse always did with you or for you and now you're alone. So just even decorating for the holidays, add to that, maybe your family has moved away and you're spending more time alone, so the loneliness that sets in at the holidays, and it just seems to be magnified when everyone else seems to be focused on family times and enjoying the holiday.
And when the driving privileges are gone, perhaps an older Arizonan no longer, maybe this is the first Christmas, Gail Morgan, that they won't be driving. That's a huge deal.
Yeah,
I speak to so many older people who say the loss of the driving privileges is just really takes a huge toll.
It's such a sign of independence. And when you lose the ability to go out, to get in the car and go where you want, when you want, it really is such a loss of independence. I know this year I'm doing all of my holiday shopping and my mother-in-law, who's not driving this year. And that's hard for her because she's feeling that she's burdening me. And it's a loss of being her own person, her own self. And so loneliness and isolation, and then any sense of loss, can really magnify a depression. And those things are so prevalent at the holidays.
And then there's the health problems.
Yes, so many of our older adults are dealing with chronic pain, maybe a new health issue that brings a difficult diagnosis with it, which is in itself brings a lot of agonizing and pain during this time of year. So all of the health issues that can be difficult can also lead to depression. Along with health issues goes a variety of medications. And what many of us don't realize is quite a few medications can actually exaggerate a minimal depression and increase it and make that, especially worse at the holidays.
So perhaps if you are on a medication and you're feeling a little blue, it might not be a bad idea to talk with your doctor and say, is one of the side effects perhaps depression with this medication?
Right. If you're feeling a little blue and less optimistic, and you're just feeling that perhaps there is a sense of depression, think, have I been prescribed a new medication? Has the dosage changed? Is there something that has changed? And absolutely, by all means, speak to your physician.
Gail Morgan is with us, and we're talking about holiday depression in older adults. What are some of the things that are sort of the telltale signs of depression, Gail?
You know, sadness, Loneliness is always. Now, some of us just have that personality that we're not, you know, the most upbeat, optimistic people. But
it's been called moody,
Yes. But look at something that you've noticed, an increased sadness with someone, loneliness. Fatigue is really one easy to spot and so prevalent. Someone that says, I'm not going to go out today because I'm tired, or I'm not putting up the holiday decorations because I'm too tired. So fatigue is really something easy to measure and spot. Along with fatigue is watch for sleep problems. Sleeping too much, not sleeping enough, not being able to stay asleep through the night, or daytime sleepiness. Those things are really good indicators, especially if they're new, that someone could be dealing with a amount of depression. You know, also a sense of, I don't want to be a burden. Suddenly when you talk to someone and she goes, well, no, I don't want you to come pick me up, or I don't want to be a burden to my family, which also sometimes leads to social withdrawal. You know, maybe someone that's played cards every other week with friends, and suddenly they're not going to play cards with friends. Or you're sensing that they're withdrawing from their friends and their social circle. That is a definite sign of possible depression.
And any kind of fixation on death is a huge red flag.
Yes. You know, if someone actually starts speaking about suicidal thoughts or even a fixation on death, and that is not the typical personality or conversation, that is a really big red flag that would want to get you to move into action to help this person.
What can we do, Gail Morgan, to help a depressed older person?
You know, the first one is so easy. Listen. You know, we become so busy this time of year ourselves. You know, I just mentioned myself with all the shopping. Really slow down and take a moment to listen. Whether they just want to talk about past holidays and how they feel a loss this holiday without their loved one, they just want to reminisce. More than anything, listen, but actively listen for clues. And look for some of those other signs that we mentioned. When you listen, listen for signs they're not sleeping, they're not eating right, they're not engaged in their social circle. So really listen and then invite them out. You know, go to look at the holiday lights, go for a brunch, a lunch, take someone anywhere, but get them out of the house and get them engaged in a social setting.
And, you know, even if they are living alone, an older Arizona, and why not put up a little tree, even if it's an artificial tree? Have something in your home that reminds you of this holiday season.
For sure, maybe
some special lights or something.
Maybe it's not the 10-foot tree you used to put up, but it's a 3-foot tabletop tree, or it's some carols, or it's a menorah that you know can set on the dining room entryway table. Definitely don't say, I'm not going to do it. And if you hear someone, a loved one, say, I'm not going to go through that this year, I'm not going to do it, take it to their house and gift them and say, oh, I thought I'd come over and we could decorate this tree, or we could put up these holiday ornaments. By all means, sometimes they get excited and they so appreciate it, but you have to take the first step.
And you really need to take care of yourself. Even if you're living alone, you've got to remember to eat right.
Yeah, you know, so much comes down to healthy nutrition.
It does.
Healthy activity and sleep. And, you know, we have to take care of ourselves and encourage that with all of our older friends.
And get out with people. And if you're living in a continuing care facility like a Splendida or really anywhere else, there are all sorts of activities, book clubs, card games, whatever.
Definitely. You know, a communal setting such as Splendido is especially nice because there is someone outside the door every time you go. So there's the friends, there's the social interaction, and you are encouraged to get out. You're going to eat healthy because of the restaurants that are serving the dinners. So, and if you're in a setting like that, you're far less likely to be challenged with some of the holiday depression.
And I would think this would be another one. You know, it's the end of the year, Gail, and everyone's thinking about New Year's resolutions. I would think for older adults, perhaps maybe sitting down and thinking about, well, for 2012, what would I really like to do? And it could be volunteer, or get involved in some kind of an outside group.
Yes, make a commitment to have a purpose. And that purpose could be whether you're going to golf once a week, you're going to volunteer to tutor at the local high school, but decide what your purpose is going to be. Health, good nutrition, taking a cooking class, but do sit down. This is the perfect time of year to say, what do I want my life to look like in 2012, and how am I going to accomplish that? That's good at any age. It's especially good for an older adult.
What about getting help for someone that really does have a depressed older adult and needs some help?
You know, the best thing is to call their physician. If you don't know their physician, contact your physician. And, you know, also, if you're sensing that someone needs help, start paying attention to the signs that you're seeing so that when you can contact the physician, you have good information to provide them.
Yeah, look, those signs are so important. And one of the big ones, again, is this sense of isolation and deciding suddenly, well, I just don't want to go to the trouble of meeting with people that they've been meeting with, perhaps a breakfast or luncheon group once a month, but suddenly they don't show up. So if you're a member of that group and that older Arizonan suddenly is not taking part, reach out. Find out what's going on.
Reach out. Find out what's going on. Don't just call. Drop in. You know, because they may put you off on a call, but just drop in. And if they say, I'm not feeling well, or I'm just not feeling myself, that's a great time to drop off a plant, a holiday wish, a bowl of soup, and see them, look then, and assess for yourself. Is this person doing okay, or do they need more help than I can offer?
Gail Morgan from Splendido, have a great holiday season. We'll look forward to seeing you in 2012. So have a happy new year as well.
Thank you. You too.
Thanks a lot. Gail Morgan with us on the Buckmaster Show, 1245. We'll be talking about some last-minute Christmas tips from Tom Collier, our consumer affairs contributor on the Buckmaster Show as we continue on this Tuesday. Stay with us.
There are a million people in metropolitan Tucson, and they have a million stories to tell. That's why there is TucsonCitizen.com, the voice of Tucson. Nearly 100 citizen journalists and bloggers, including the Buckmaster Show, report the news and provide perspective, opinion, and information about everything from local politics to the Arizona Wildcats. Visit TucsonCitizen.com today to read what you can't find in traditional media or to contact us to add your voice to the voice of Tucson, TucsonCitizen.com.
The RTA, delivering our promise to you during the past 5 years, completing over 400 projects, including 5 major roadways and the launch of Sun Express and Sun Shuttle Transit services, with 30 projects underway, including the intersection of Alvernon and Valencium and Camino Seco to Houghton along Speedway Boulevard. Please watch for workers and obey all traffic signs. Your tax dollars create jobs and make travel in our region faster and safer. The RTA, delivering our promise to you.
From antique to contemporary, Persia to Pakistan, Tibet to Turkey, Karimi Oriental Rugs brings the world to Tucson at the corner of East Fort Lowell and Dodge. Owner-operator Amir Karimi personally selects the world's finest exquisite hand-woven rugs. Sale, purchase, wash, repair, restore, and appraise. East Fort Lowell and Dodge for Karimi Oriental Rugs and KarimiOrientalRugs.com.
Everyone's piling on big banks nowadays, with good reason. But still, you're skeptical about moving your money. We get it. But let's think about that. If you're worried about convenience, Pyramid Federal Credit Union has local branches and thousands of fee-free ATMs nationwide. If you're worried about service, at Pyramid, you're a member. At big banks, you're a number. There's a difference. And if you're worried about savings, Pyramid Federal Credit Union has better rates and fewer fees than big banks. Like our great low 4.5% APR on new, used, or refinanced vehicle loans with terms up to 60 months. Plus, save another 0.25% with payment options. So Pyramid wins on convenience, service, and savings. If you're still skeptical about moving your money, try us out. Pyramid Federal Credit Union. Improve your financial life.
Visit PyramidFCU.com to learn how. 4.5% APR on vehicle loans for a limited time. Restrictions may apply. Membership eligibility required. NCUA insured.
Splendido at Rancho Vistoso in Oro Valley is one of Southern Arizona's crown jewels. You will find that the services and amenities offered at Splendido rival those of a fine resort. But what sets Splendido apart is a continuum of health care that allows for a full life today, knowing tomorrow is secure. As a true continuing care retirement community, Splendido offers priority access to on-site assisted living, skilled nursing, and memory support care if ever needed. Find out more at SplendidoAZ.net.
.1249 on the Buckmaster Show. On Wednesday, December the 28th, the United States Postal Service is holding a public hearing in Tucson on whether or not to close the Tucson mail sorting facility and move that service to the Phoenix facility. The hearing will be held at the Leo Rich Theater in downtown Tucson, 260 South Church, beginning at 6 o'clock in the evening. Tom Collier joins us now, the Buckmaster Show contributor on consumer affairs. You know, the Postal Service is hurting, Tom Collier, and you look at online shopping, and that's probably one big reason.
That's probably part of the reason, if not the major reason, along with the rise of email as opposed to sending correspondence. But today, there's a report out that says online Christmas shopping is up 15% over last year's level. It's about $30.8 billion this year. And talking about delivery, some of the websites that you may shop at may say it's still not too late to get delivery done by Christmas, but I would be prepared to pay more for the delivery than I paid for the gift at this late date.
Yeah, for that last-minute Christmas shopping. Any tips that you can give us for all the last-minute Christmas shoppers, including my producer, Rosemary Brandt, who will be out probably Christmas Eve?
Well, I have two pieces of good news. The first piece of good news we just talked about, which is that Christmas shopping online is up overall over last year. The second piece of good news is there is no hot item or hot toy that you must have in order to be a good parent if you give it to your kid, if you don't give it to your kid. So there's nothing like, you know, in past seasons. There were a few earlier reports about pepper spray at big box stores and people lined up the
remember
the door.
Pet rocks?
Oh yeah. And I earlier this season, there were people camped outside one of the big box stores 11 days before the Christmas shopping season started. You know, so that's that level of ridiculousness. You can buy online. I guess in terms of a tip, what I would look for is if you're doing last-minute Christmas shopping and you're going to use the credit card, there is an indication that credit card usage is up. The last 12 months or so, maybe even before that, longer than that, people have been paying down debt on their credit cards. And the indications are this quarter, which includes the Christmas shopping season, that people are bringing the wallet, the plastic out, and they're starting to run their credit balances up again. In fact, one of the companies that's a major issuer, banks that's a major issuer of credit cards, has come up with a new thing. They've eliminated the credit limit. You know, I have some credit cards and they all have a credit limit.
Yeah.
And I look at my statement each month and it says, you can spend this much more and then you're cut off.
Right. Or, but you're saying now that they're eliminating the credit
limit. Well, they're eliminating sort of. This is like the financial equivalent of Dirty Harry. They're calling it, instead of a credit limit, they're calling it a credit access level.
Oh.
And it's like, okay, punk, was it five card swipes or six card swipes? And what the idea is to hook you into spending more. And so you're right at what you know used to be called your credit limit. And there's that one item that you need to get. You supposedly can swipe your card and you won't be denied as if you were going over your credit limit. Or you won't be dinged with a fee or a fine as if you were going over your credit limit, which is the previous case. That's always been the case with American Express, for example. The kicker was you had to pay the bill off at the end of each month.
Yes.
And there was no set spending limit. Well, some of the folks who have these revolving credit cards, Visa and MasterCard are now looking at that. This one implementation is going to see how much more people are able to spend over this particular season. The downside is you still have to use self-discipline.
Let's go to Joe now.
Or that's an upside, I guess.
The upside, I guess. Joe is with us on the Buckmaster Show. He has a question about the Postal Service. Go ahead, Joe.
Hey, how's it going?
Real good.
This is a big consumer affair, and it is the knowledge that the big deal and the big hole in the postal system is the fact that they passed a law in 2006 that makes them do a 75-year liability for their health care, and they jam that into a 10-year period. And they are hemorrhaging for paying for that service, and it manifests itself in itself in a retail kind of, this is what we hear about. But that's the thing that they can't handle, and it's a poison pill. It's kind of like the Medicare aspect to Part D and the, that buying retail drugs for our senior citizens who don't have any money. This is big stuff, and I would encourage you to check out that damage from that, because the media is not talking about it. It's talking about a bunch of bums who can't run a business.
What Joe said, Bill.
Thank you, Joe.
It's also not just the medical expenses for postal employees. It's the unfunded liability for their pensions, too. It's one of those rare situations where you have a semi-public business that the post office, like the post office, that is hammered by technology, the decline in postal mail for bills and emailing and bill paying over the internet now. But they also have the responsibility to pay an unfunded liability that a lot of private corporations have as an unfunded liability. They don't have the money to pay pensions 75 years out, but Congress has told the post office they have to pony up the money up front in order to pay that 75 years out. He's right. And that's one of the things that people need to understand about the post office.
And one other thing about that, the hearing that's coming up on the 28th at 6 o'clock at the Leo Rich Theater, if the Phoenix Processing Center takes over Tucson, you're talking a couple of days later for your letter that you mailed.
We've had the privilege of having overnight delivery. So if you stick something in the mail overnight, and it will usually be on a Tuesday, it will usually be delivered on a Wednesday here. I've had situations where there are people who are mailing out a letter to or a group letter to their homeowners association or even their Christmas cards this season. You drive them down to the main post office there on Cherry Bell Strav Avenue and stick them in that drive-through. People have called me and said, wow, we've got your card the next day. So I was really pleased with that level of service. Yeah. But there's another thing here, too. They're talking about the economy, and I don't know whether this is consumer, but I guess it is. There are a significant number of businesses here in Tucson that rely on mail order, internet ordering over the internet, and they rely on the postal service to deliver the orders that they get from all over the country. There was a company here several years ago, back when the internet first started. Mm-hmm. I can't believe I'm saying that, back when the internet first started. But there was a woman here who developed a wonderful salsa recipe. Mm-hmm. And she was one of the first people in Tucson to start marketing her salsa on the internet. And this was a learning experience, because her first order for two cases was from Tokyo. Mm-hmm. And she included free shipping.
Oh.
But there are a lot of companies here in Tucson that rely, and a lot of home-based businesses, smaller businesses. We used to have Arizona Mail Order here in mm-hmm. Tucson. But there are a significant number of them that do rely on the Postal Service. And this would be a blow to their ability to be profitable, I would think.
You were talking about online having a great Christmas season. What is this Stop Online Piracy Act we're hearing about?
That is a bill which is before Congress. There are two versions of it, one in the House and one in the Senate, that is being pushed by Hollywood, so to speak, the people who have copyright interests, the recording industry, the movie industry, to stop online piracy, which is kids stealing music and not paying for it, essentially, or stealing movies and not paying for them. Peer-to-peer downloading is one of the ways that that happens. But the problem with this particular bill is that the way it is structured, it will put the cart before the horse, and it will allow a corporation, big Hollywood corporation, to allege that Bill Buckmaster has been downloading music, and we can stop his website. we can shut down his website first and then go to court. The actual process, which has been in place for many, many years, is you go to court and you get the court to shut the website down.
They can take action before a court.
Exactly. And then go to court. And then with their multi-millions of dollars and their lawyers, they can start delaying and delaying and delaying. And one of the threats is to what's known as the fair use doctrine. In literature, that's a 300-word quote. In music, it's an 8-bar quote, no more than 8 bars of the music. And they can, for example, if you're going to be doing a review, shut down your website because of the fair use doctrine. It's been in case law for years and years and years. It's well established, but this would overturn that. And you're going to wind up with a lot of websites that have quoted material shut down. And think about that. If it's something that you disagree with politically and you have this kind of power where you don't need to go to court, you can just shut them down, and then it stifles free speech in the United States.
Tom Collier. Always a pleasure. And I thought of one more good thing about Christmas Eve shopping this year. Christmas Eve is on a Saturday.
Oh, that will help. That will help.
That will help. Thanks so much, Tom. Have a great Christmas season.
Merry Christmas to you, Bill, and to all our listeners, too.
And a wonderful New Year. We'll see you in January. Thank you, Tom Collier. The Buckmaster Show, brought to you in part by Flowers Regern Associates Certified Public Accountants, located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersregern.com. Mike Flowers himself will be here in studio with me tomorrow. Actually, some things to talk about. Year-end tax tips coming up from Michael C. Flowers. That's part of the Buckmaster Show on the Wednesday edition. And we thank you very much for joining us today. Hope you have a great afternoon. And again, to our Jewish friends, have a very happy Hanukkah, which begins tonight at sundown. See you tomorrow at noon.
KVOI, Cortero, Tucson. 930 KAPR Douglas. And 1240 KJAA Globe, the Voice Radio Network.